Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Shue.
Captain Lee Peters with the Stafford Sheriff's Office in this morning. Captain Peters, it is great to have you here. It's been a while since I've seen you. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am good. The last time I spent any time with you, I went around with you in an unmarked car and learned I became a better driver, I tell people, because of you, of just driving around and seeing just people make mistakes, and I didn't want to be on the other end of those mistakes.
Well, I think it's very Christian of you this morning to label those driving behaviors as mistakes, but all right, I appreciate you trying to soften that blow for the listeners. You know, but before we get to that part, you've got to go back to the beginning of the story. On the initial encounter when I came to pick you up.
You did, because we had worked this out, and this was right before Memorial Day, so we spent the morning, and I rode around with you. So you'd said, I texted you, and I thought I would just meet you somewhere, and you said, I'm just over at the Ferry Farm Walmart. I'll come by and pick you up. You came by here, turned the lights on as I'm standing in waiting for you out front, and we left. I came back about 3-4 hours later.
Well, let's stop there and go back just a minute to
the part where we left. Oh, there is one other part, yeah.
Yeah, when the nice neighbor lady that you had given your phone to because she had locked herself out of the house. And then you had me trying to break into a house for this nice young lady because you said, hey, I know the sheriff's office. They'll break in for you. Here we go. So.
And she did.
And we did. So it's not only a full-service law enforcement, but you know we also do home break-ins on request for local celebrities like yourself.
She was just beside herself of not being able to get in, and you knew how to do it and got her into the house.
Well, I wasn't always the police, so you know.
So then I come back here 3-4 hours later, and people had seen me drive away with you, not knowing that I knew you well, and there was concern that I had been arrested.
Yeah, that was the best part, and what we need to talk about is your friendship, apparently, with the people who work here, because they saw me sneak up in an unmarked car, and I did it on purpose. You know, I pointed the car towards you, turned the lights on, jumped out, and apparently everybody watched that. But no one came out to say, hey, Ted, are you okay? What's going on? Do you have a warrant? Are you being abducted? You know, what's going on? They just kind of turned their back, closed the shades, locked the doors, and went inside until you came back safely. And then they were like, hey, what happened? Did you post bond? Did he bring you back? What's going on in your life? But at no point did they decide that they wanted to interfere before you were driven away. So we should talk about the people here and your actual friendship.
That is true, because no one thought, does he need help? Does he, yeah.
Well, they may have thought it, but no one verbalized it, I tell you that.
No. So it was an interesting day. So that was the last time I saw you. Hey, we're going to get into school safety and especially with buses back on the roads very soon. So we'll get into all that. There's a story, though, this morning about, and you're being a motorcycle rider. State police say that since June, there have been 21 fatalities, and half of them have been single accidents with motorcycles. Right. And the word is just to be safe. Motorcycle safety is important to you because you're a motorcycle rider yourself.
Yes, I've ridden motorcycles since I think 1996, and I was on Sheriff's Office Motor Squad for a while. I still command them, and you know I have my own bikes, and motorcycle riding is something that I am passionate about. And we've talked before about just riding safely and riding defensively and wearing the proper protective gear. I know in Stafford, in the last couple of months, we've had two motorcycle fatalities, one up in the north end and one on Trussell Road, which was, I think it was the 4th of July, it actually was. And, you know, the second one, speed-related, and you know, there's just, we've got to do a better job as motorcycle riders of, you know, protecting ourselves. You know, we know that in high traffic and, you know, people are distracted. We talk about that all the time. We know that it's dangerous to be on two wheels, but people have a passion for it. I have a passion for it. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to make us stop. But there are certain behaviors that are contributing to, you know, the death of motorcycle riders that we can control, you know, speed being one of them, proper protective gear, and just being a defensive driver. So it's a great thing to be out on two wheels, especially this time of year. It's what we all live for. But we've got to do a better job of protecting ourselves and educating the motoring public about motorcycles and just making sure they know we're there. So it has been a tragic summer for a lot of families because of, you know, motorcycle crashes and deaths and fatalities. And, you know, in Stafford, just fatalities as a whole, we've seen an uptick in those. I mean, just in the last month, you know, I think we're at 3 fatalities, just, you know, cars and motorcycles together. So we just want people to recognize motorcycle riders are out there. They're small. They're hard to see sometimes, and just be defensive. Put the phones down, you know, check your mirrors, check your blind spots, and just allow motorcycle riders to ride safely and comfortably. And then on the other side of that, motorcycle riders, you know, we need to do our part to ride safely within the speed limit, within the law, and just have a good time, but do it as safe as we possibly can.
Well, I think it's a good reminder. I like every once in a while you'll see the billboards, or you'll hear commercials about take that, if you're a driver, take that second look to make sure there's not a motorcycle rider there, because you're right, they can be in a blind spot, or you're just not looking for.
You know, the truth of the matter is, you know, if everybody is driving properly and following the basic rules of driving, then none of these things would be that important, whether it's a motorcycle or a car, because you see, you know, trucks making lane changes where cars are, they don't see them. You see cars making lane change where motorcycles. If everybody was taking an extra second to check their blind spots, use their mirrors, obey the speed limit, and just be responsible drivers, you know, these specific conversations on driving and the type of vehicles would really be irrelevant. We would all drive safely, and, you know, crashes would be reduced. You know, I looked up for another project I was doing, I looked up since, I think it was April 1st to July something, in Stafford County, there were 993 automobile accidents in that time period. 900 in 3 months.
Wow.
That is remarkable.
Yeah.
There's that many. Now, they're not all death or serious injury. They're every reported crash we had in Stafford County. 900. So when you look at that, there's not that many bank robberies. There's not that many drug deaths. There's not that many, you know, the only thing that we're really picking up is auto accidents. And so we're trying to find ways to combat that, get people's attention, and get the crashes to stop.
Well, and it does all start with making sure you've got enough. You know, don't be in a hurry, don't rush, and just those basic kind of things.
Yeah, we talk about it all the time. We talk about, you know, if you're late, you're late. You know,
yeah.
I see people, you know, all the time. We'll set up and we'll try and get people slowed down in high crash areas. And, you know, the common theme is, oh, I'm late for work, or I'm late for an appointment, I'm late at the airport. Well, you're later now, aren't you? And it's going to be even later because we have some business to attend to. So the chance of meeting one of us, or, you know, even being involved in an auto accident, you know, that day is over. That day is shot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not going to go the way you want it to, and you're further and further behind. So when you take that time calculation in there, and you weigh the benefit of speeding and not, you know, sometimes you're just late. You can't not be late at that point. If you say, I was supposed to be there at 8:30, it's 8:45 now, you know, that DeLorean doesn't exist. You know, you get 88 miles an hour, it's just going to be a longer day with us. It's, it's not going to fix anything in your life. So there's just a certain point that I know you're aggravated, you're frustrated. No one likes to be late, but sometimes it's just going to be what it is.
Well, and the day I spent with you, when you did pull someone over, it's, what, 15, 20 minutes on a routine stop?
It's
if you're writing a ticket.
It's timely. You know, it's about 10 minutes. It could be up to 15, depending on, you know, if you have your license, what we've got to do, what comes back. All those things take time. And, you know, with the amount of things we've got to do now with the state and the amount of, you know, extra input we've got to do after we even just talk to somebody, it does increase that time. So you're later. Now you've got to take another day off work to come to court. You know, it's going to be financially expensive. So it just compounds your problems exponentially by just speeding.
back real quick to the as a motorcycle rider, I know, you know, when I'm driving along and you're driving by especially a tractor trailer, you try to make sure you're not in a blind spot and that they can see you as you're riding on a motorcycle. Do you try to do that too, to at least go up to where, try not to stay behind a lot, or try to be in an area where they can see you?
Yeah, it's the old adage, if you know, you can't see their face, they can't see you, especially on trucks, is very true. So you try and put yourself in a position where you can see everybody and everybody can see you.
Yeah.
So, you know, being behind large vehicles, being beside them in blind spots, that's something you actively try just not to do. And even sitting in traffic, you know, people will see an open space, think there's nothing there, and unfortunately it's you there. So you've got to make sure you've got the proper lane positioning for the road environment. You've got to make sure that, you know, you've got on the colors that are to be able to be seen, and your lights are working.
Yeah.
Know where your horn is. There's a whole lot of things that go into just being a responsible motorcycle rider. And, you know, we always think, you know, they should just see us, but let's be honest, you know, we're a third of the size of a car. So it's going to be hard in certain situations to be seen. So you've got to make sure that, you know, you're doing your part as a rider to be seen, be heard, and just be careful.
Captain Lee Peters with the Stafford Sheriff's Office here this morning. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We'll be right back.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Captain Lee Peters with the Stafford Sheriff's Office here this morning. With school not that far away, we buses will be back on the road. And you and I have done this for we've had done this show a lot of times, just as far as being able to knowing the rules for with buses on the road. And I know this is a topic that really will get you riled up.
Yes, it will.
Is the people that will speed or pass a school bus and put a lot of kids and adults in danger?
Well, if you look at it, you know, and we always say, you know, the number one precious commodity on earth is our children, and we have to treat them that way. And school buses are carrying our most precious commodity. Mm-hmm. They're carrying our children. So if we ever get to a point where we're not stopping for school buses and ensuring our children are safe, then we have lost something in our society. So every year, you know, school starting early this year in Stafford County, I believe it's the 9th of August. I think that's when it started.
Yeah.
You know, the schools will be back in session and kind of warming up for that the week prior. You're going to see the school zone lights are coming back on, the school buses. And you're also going to see a change in the kids when they're going to be at bus stops now. You know, I think the younger kids are going earlier. The older kids are going later. So during those times of darkness and you know, early mornings, you're going to start seeing the smaller kids out at bus stops instead of the older kids. So when you look at that from a traffic safety standpoint, you know, little kids and darkness and roadways, that's not a good combination.
Right.
But it's what we're going with. So we're really going to be out there, you know, providing education and enforcement, you know, very early to get people's behavior back to, you know, the school environment. And since it was such a short summer, people, you know, shouldn't have gotten too far out of that habit, because, you know, summer is only like 6 weeks this year. So we really want people to be looking for school buses. And, you know, the rules on passing school buses, you know, on a public highway, if you're going the same direction, it's not a divided highway, you must stop. And we prefer that if you're confused and you say, well, I didn't know which one to do, you should always stop. You know, the bus driver will flag you by, or, you know, people will let you know if you're doing things right or wrong. But, you know, we've got to get to a place where we have very limited tolerance of people passing school buses and endangering the children's safety going to school. So school zones, school buses, you know, but one of the things that we are doing is there's so much traffic on school property now. You know, I know we redid some of the traffic plans, and there are opportunities, you know, if a law enforcement officer or if a uniformed crossing guard is there, that you'll see people passing stop school buses on school property. Now, the law is very clear on that you can do that. And we've actually had to do that in certain places because, you know, getting cars and people dropped off past those buses is a lot safer than having cars stopped on public highways and causing crashes out on the street. So we just ask you, when you come on a school property, watch the crossing guard. Okay. Slow down. You know, most schools are labeled at 10 miles an hour, and you shouldn't be going that fast. So there's a lot of things that we've done in the county to ensure that, you know, everything is as safe as we can possibly make it, keeping roadways open, you know, because, again, you know, you and I saw traffic in Stafford County is just ridiculous at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to really, I remember, you know, when we first had this conversation, you and I, we used to have this very positive, you know, back and forth about how traffic was going to get better and, you know, the construction was going to make it better and we were going to have more lanes and everything was going to be great in a couple of years.
A couple of years, yeah.
Well, what we found out, Ted, is we have lied to the public for about 5 years and we need to take that back. And to the public, we sincerely apologize. It wasn't our doing. We were just trying to be, you know, optimistic reporters. Now, where we are, there is a lot of traffic, a lot of construction, and the probability of it getting better in the next 5 years is very slim. So there, we said it. So we have to understand that things are going to be very hectic in Stafford County for quite some time. You know, the sheriff's office, VDOT, you know, all of our partners, we're doing everything we possibly can to accommodate traffic and to keep it moving and to clear roadways. But the population, the growth, the people traveling through Stafford County has just overwhelmed us, and we're doing the best we can to deal with it. Now, I say that, but this is not the Stafford Sheriff's Office. We didn't do all this. We're trying to help just like everybody else.
Yeah.
So, you know, we take a lot of you know, incoming rounds about traffic and, you know, why aren't you doing something about it? And, you know, we understand, you know, when all else fails, you know, they come to us for help, and that's what we're there for. But we got overrun quick just like everybody else. So it's doing the best we possibly can.
And like you said, like when we started this conversation with children being a precious commodity, you got to keep that in mind. And even though you might be late for that 9 o'clock appointment, if that bus is there and the yellow lights are coming on just before the red lights come on, you know, safety first.
Just stop. I mean,
yeah,
kids are unpredictable.
Right.
You know, you don't know, you know, especially the first week. You've got a lot of younger kids that are excited to go to school. They want to get on the bus. They want to go see their friends. They want to go do these things. So they're not always paying attention when they're crossing the road. You know, school bus transportation has done a wonderful job of making sure that as few kids cross the road to a bus as possible. But there are still times where they have to because of routing, safety, and time. We get it. But there's you never know when that kid's going to be late, when the parents are running to the bus stop, or the kid just takes off and runs towards the bus. So The last thing that you want to be responsible for is the death of a child when it could have been prevented. And that's something that every time you see that school bus, you know, that lights flashing or wherever it is, no matter how frustrated you are, you've got to remember that there is a life that is associated with that school bus. And by the time it gets to school, it's about 50 lives that are associated with that school bus. And you don't want to be a part of taking any one of those. So, again, you know, we have the conversation all the time with people speeding through school zones. And, you know, you stop a mom with, you know, a car full of kids, and you're like, hey, why are we speeding in a school zone? Well,
yeah.
I'm late to drop the kids off. Okay, well, let me ask you this question. If your kids were standing on the side of the road and somebody came driving by you like this, what would you say? Well, I would be upset, and that's unacceptable. Then the light bulb kicks on, like, oh. Mm-hmm. So I just disrespected somebody else's kids the way I – oh, yeah. Okay. And then, you know, you have the conversation, you know, whatever enforcement action you take. But, you know, people really have to understand that everybody else's neighborhood, everybody else's child is just as important as yours. And when you remember that, it puts it in a whole new perspective, and you kind of slow down and you start watching for those kids.
Yeah. And like you say, in the neighborhoods, it can be really bad because it happens all the time. If you're coming home from work or going to work in the morning, you get behind a school bus, it's just come into your neighborhood, it's going to take a little bit of time.
You know, we're very honest with each other, Ted, and, you know, you follow a school bus long enough, you actually start to wonder, does the bus have to stop at every driveway on the road? And it seems like it does, and you get frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
We know that.
Yep.
Especially if you're trying to get somewhere. You're like, look, it just stopped 12 feet ago. Why is it stopping now? And then the lights go off, just in time the lights go back on, and it stops again.
Yeah.
So one of the things you have to understand is there are school times, you know, from 7:30 in the morning till about 9, mm-hmm. it's going to be buses in school zones. You know, from like 2:30 till 5 now, it's going to be schools, buses and school zones. So a lot of it is route planning and timing and knowing that if I go this direction at this time, I am going to meet school buses. I'm going to meet kids. There's going to be, you know, law enforcement out there watching these folks. So I should really not try and cut through a neighborhood to get where I'm going. I'm going to use the main arteries because there's a less likely chance that I'm going to be stopped every, you know, 28 feet
yeah.
by a school bus. So there's a lot of planning that goes into it, and you just have to understand that it's school. It's going to happen, and, you know, we are going to be out there watching.
And like you say, I can remember in years past when I would stay out with – I'd be standing either waiting for my kids or with them in the morning – and when cars went by, you always just thought, slow down, slow down.
Yeah, it's and some of it gets verbalized. I like watching some of the parents, and they just
yes.
come unglued on the side of the road uh-huh. and start yelling. And it's fun to watch. But you understand the passion as a parent of protecting their children.
Yep.
You know, and it's hard to be out there and watching, you know, people speeding by and endangering your children. So we just ask everybody to please, school's coming. We're going back to the routine, you know. We always talk about Courthouse Road, people coming through there. You know, Courthouse Road from one end to another is a school zone from 7 in the morning till 9 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock in the morning. And it goes the opposite mm-hmm. way in the afternoon.
Yeah.
It's a school zone. So you might as well just do 25 because from, you know, Brook Point to Route 1, it's a school zone. There's 500 feet between the schools, and it's going to be flashing lights somewhere. So just watch for them. You know, help us keep the kids safe. You know, wish all the teachers and bus drivers, you know, good luck. They are going to have a heck of a year this year getting back into some normalcy.
Yep.
And we're going to be out there helping to protect them and keep them on their way.
And like I said, you and others have no patience for people that violate this rule.
So let's, you know, I like to be very transparent. You know, I'm a father. You know, I just became a grandfather for the second time on Friday afternoon.
I didn't know that. Congratulations.
Had a grandson. So a lot of us who work in a sheriff's office, a lot of us are parents.
Yeah.
A lot of us are grandparents. A lot of us are, you know, have kids and, you know, work closely with them. So it becomes a very personal thing. You want to protect all those little ones that look like your little ones, you know,
yeah.
all their friends and all their, you know, and when you see, when you work in this profession, you see young people hurt or you see young people injured or you see them die in car crashes or however, it becomes very personal that you want to protect the rest of them any way you can. And we're in a very unique and blessed position that we can do that. So there's really no excuse that a lot of the young officers or older officers or parents or grandparents who happen to be law enforcement officers will accept for you endangering children. None. And it goes from, you know, traffic to school shooters or, you know, suspicious or whatever mm-hmm. manner of evil will come to a child, we have no patience for it. And there is very little you can say to change that mind. So, you know, we've had, you know, some of the people who work there, you know, had kids graduate this year and they're going off to college and we want them to be safe. You know, we've got new drivers, you know, we're gonna do everything we can to keep them safe, but we have very little patience as people and law enforcement officers for those who will do harm to children through any means. So that's the personal approach to it. And the other part of it is it's about traffic safety. You know, I told you the sheriff's number one priority in our strategic plan is traffic safety because we understand the problems that are in Stafford County. We understand the partnerships we need to have, and we understand that it is of everything that happens, traffic is what affects more people every day than any other issue in Stafford County. Not drug overdoses, not, you know, anything else. Traffic is what affects everybody every day. You know, and you can see the comments on our websites and, you know, people are, why can't we do something about traffic? Why can't we, you know, why is the road shut down? You know, very, you know, people who are affected by other things, you know, it doesn't affect everybody else like it does. It's a very family-centric thing. Traffic safety is, and it has been identified as a thing that we are going to work on most during, you know, the sheriff's tenure. So that's where we're going, and that's what we're trying to do.
Captain Lee Peters, Stafford Sheriff's Office, in this morning. Great stuff. We'll continue when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:33.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right.
News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EP Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Great stuff this morning with Captain Lee Peters with the Stafford Sheriff's Office. And I thank you for what you do. For all of you. I mean, you're all out there in law enforcement going through a lot of things these days. But whenever we talk, and whether it's on air or off air, the passion that you have to keep people safe is something. So thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate it. You know, it's a great passion to have, I think. You know, and everybody has their passion in life, and you know, we've kind of grown in this profession. You know, you've watched, and it's just been a great ride. And it's also, you know, a lot of people, when you talk about traffic safety and you say it's my passion, people get real upset about it, because when you say I love what I do, I love traffic safety, and I love keeping people safe, this is what people hear. Oh, you like writing tickets? Well, that's not what I said.
No.
I love traffic safety. You know, it's always been something that has fueled me. You know, from, you know, motor carry enforcement, being on a motorcycle, and, you know, just being out there and engaging with the public. People always hear, oh, so you just like writing tickets? But I didn't say that. So that is one of the, you know, side effects of this job is there is some enforcement that comes with traffic safety.
Has to be.
And there are some people, you know, let's be honest, there are some people who deserve a summons. You look at some of the summons that we've posted on our website over the last couple of months, you know, 102, 100, you know, I think Deputy Colbeth had one in a residential neighborhood, you know, something 30 over the speed limit recently that we posted. So people are also very supportive of traffic safety, and they want to see enforcement. They want to see summons until it's them. Then it's, you know, you're the devil, and you should, you know, be banished from the earth. But it's not always about that part. It's about education. It's about talking to people. It's about, you know, getting their attention. And there are so many times where we will, you know, let somebody go with a warning because you can see, based upon the interaction, that they're back concentrating on driving. So you remember, you know, when we were out together, the guy that, you know, almost ran into us because he didn't know we were the police, and we had to stop him getting on 95.
Yeah.
Because he was
on his phone.
He was on his phone, and he almost took off the front of our car. I mean, we're you know, in a law enforcement vehicle. Now, granted, it's unmarked, but you see the behavior, and the guy was just, he was so engulfed and involved in that conversation, the cell phone, and doing all these other things, and that he had no concept of how dangerous he was. When I walked up there and I told you, you know, he had no idea he almost hit us. He had no idea his actions almost caused a crash. He had no idea that his actions almost, you know, shut down Route 1, you know, in the 610 area, which is one of the busiest places in the county, because he was mm-hmm. on his phone, and he was just not – if you had asked him, you know, what kind of car he was driving, he probably couldn't tell you because he was so involved in that phone call. So we had the conversation with him. Hey, look, you know, what are you doing and why? You know, oh, you know, I have a business and I'm distracted. Yeah, we know that. We knew that the minute you almost hit us. We mm-hmm. we found it out. It was very evident. And the fact that you never looked in your mirror, you never did anything except for look back at the phone, tells us that, you know, you were doing things that you should have been doing. And everything you were concentrating on was bad because your driving was horrible. So, you know, he knew, and he was very honest about it. Yeah, I probably, you know, made some mistakes. And it was one of those times where, you know, you say, hey, look, we're concentrating, we're going to give a warning. I'm going to tell you, even though, you know, all those factors there, and ordinarily I probably would have written a summons, but, you know, I decided against it that day. But he was educated, and I think that, you know, the impact of just our encounter did exactly what we needed to do. It changed the driving behavior and made him a safer person. Now, if we see him again, that probably won't end the same way.
Yeah.
But, you know, everybody, we understand today's society. We understand, and, you know, there's going to be, you know, all officers have discretion, you know, warrant, summons, or arrest, and, you know, we want them to choose wisely based upon their stop and all those factors. But then you go to, you know, the other lady we stopped. You know, we saw her driving behavior, you know, on 17, when she came up behind us and said, hey, you know, look at this red car, just watch her. And just based upon the amount of lane changes and the speed and how she caught us and passed us and was weaving through traffic and then got to what did we say, 70-something?
70-something,
70-something, you know, from the red light, you know, and just the behavior and all that kind of good stuff and the reaction when we stopped, you know, that one did constitute, you know, enforcement action. So, you know, we saw all things traffic-related in Stafford County and this the volume of traffic. So if your driving behavior has potential to shut down a major artery because of how badly you're driving, you know, there's going to be consequences. And that was one of those times. And there was just no excuse for, you know, almost doubling the speed limit in that area from red light to red light, cutting off cars, cutting us off, tailgating, you know, all those things which, you know, again, will cause commerce to be interrupted, you know, commuters to be interrupted, track to be shut down. You know, all those things that we're trying to avoid, you know, that one was a kind of a different story. So it was an interesting day that you created for us, Ted. Very interesting.
I appreciated being part of that day, too. And this brings up when we talk about school zones and the lights going on, mm-hmm. on there, where in normal areas, if you're out by, you know, say, Colonial Forge these days, you know, during the summer, you can zip right on through there. But when those lights, when school starts and you've got lights in school zones all across the county, you got to be aware of that. And that's why you don't kind of zone out on things.
Yeah, we've got to get back to a place where we're actually concentrating on driving.
Yeah.
And we lost that as technology kind of grew. We lost the fact that we still have to concentrate on driving. And there's still people involved and there's still school zones. And one of the interesting things about, you know, you mentioned Colonial Forge, you know, Colonial Forge used to be, what, two lanes going by that school. So it was very easy to tell it was a school zone. Now it's a 4-plus lane divided highway that's still the same school zone it was, you know, back in the 90s.
But you can miss it.
You can. But, again, it's one of those things, you know, let's say you missed the school zone lights. Okay, I'll give you that for just a second during this conversation. You come around that corner, there's always a security guard, there's always a car with yellow lights, there's usually a police car, there's someone standing in the road directing traffic. If that does not get your attention to slow down, then I really can't help you if they stop you.
Yeah.
Because you're missing every clue we could possibly provide, and there's a human being standing in the roadway who's risking their life to keep your children safe in and out of that parking lot, and we're still not slowing down. And you know, that goes to the move over laws and you know, you have record drivers that are standing on the side of the road, you've got security guards standing on the side of the road, you've got school people, you've got all these folks working in the roadway that are trying to keep somebody else's child safe, and you're speeding by them with no regard for their life. So that puts you in a different category in my book, and there's consequences to your actions. And you can't tell me I didn't know or I was distracted. Because when you tell me that, you know, a lot of people think that if I say I didn't know or I wasn't paying attention, it kind of lessens the fact that, you know, oh, okay, well, you didn't know, well, you didn't know. But in certain traffic safety circles, that makes it more reckless. Mm-hmm. You tell me that you were on the phone, you were distracted, you didn't know how fast you were going, and you passed by on the side of the road and you didn't know. Well, again, that goes to a category of recklessness because you're not concentrating what you're doing. You're endangering lives, you're speeding, you're on your cell phone, all those things together. You know, the simple definition of reckless driving is any action that endangers life, limb, or property. And you've done all of those. So telling me I didn't know or telling an officer I didn't know really puts you in a different category of recklessness that you probably weren't thinking about because you should know.
And we have seen Captain Peters in this area this year of pedestrians, more pedestrian deaths that I can remember this year, it seems, that there is more of that.
There. I don't know the exact numbers, but you know, any life lost in that manner is tragic. So, you know, we don't want to say that one life or pedestrian life is worth less than somebody else. But, you know, again, when you talk about pedestrians, you know, there are rules to pedestrians. You know, you should be crossing at crosswalks. You should be, you know, crossing where it's safe. You know, some of these like 17 where the speeds are higher and there's more lanes, and it's really just an adult game of Frogger that you're engaging in.
Yeah.
You really want to make sure you're doing it safely because, again, you don't know when that next high-speed car is coming. You don't know when the light's going to change. You don't know when someone's going to do something. You know, we see a lot of, you know, people see a pedestrian on the highway, so on a three-lane highway, they'll stop, and they'll flag somebody across. Well, the person doing 60 next to you did not know why you're stopping and didn't see you flag that person over, so really you're flagging somebody over in the line of traffic. So we ask people, let the traffic lights do their job, let the pedestrian crossing walks do their job, watch for them. I think the city's done a great job of marking their crosswalks, especially on Fall Hill.
Yeah.
You know, the lights start flashing. There's marked crosswalks. There's signs. You know, in front of the VDOT headquarters on Deacon Road, they've done it as well. So they're doing a lot of good work in making sure that pedestrians are safe, but we have to make sure that we know that, you know, pedestrians in the roadway, if they're crossing the crosswalk, they do have the right of way by state law, and we should be granting them that opportunity, especially if they're crossing properly. So it's just another thing we've got to watch out for, which, you know, in this area, we've got to make sure that people are paying attention to their driving and not to their phones, radios, kids, or, you know, other conversations.
Yeah, no, it's easy to do, but the consequences are just are awful.
Yeah. I mean, we're playing with people's lives, and that's, you know, at the end of the day, that's the simple version. Is people, when driving and pedestrians and things like that go bad, it costs people lives, and we've seen an uptick of that here recently, and we want to really make it stop.
I always think when I get over because of the stories that you've told me before about you being on the side of the road, and it's generally easy to get when you usually can see enough ahead when you see flashing lights that and just try to get over, because it does put it puts all of you who are doing your job at risk. And I mean, you've told stories before about how you've been in some pretty rough situations.
Well, I've seen, you know, remember when we stopped that guy when he turned to get on the interstate, and we stopped and he asked me why I walked up to the passenger side of the car, not the driver's side.
Yeah.
And it was because I told you, just flat out, I didn't want to die that day.
Right.
And, you know, traffic was very heavy, people getting on the ramp. You know, he chose one of the most, just worst places to stop on earth he could possibly stop. So, you know, we do that, but you look at the close calls that we have, and there are people who just don't know the law. Some people just forget. You know, there are people who can't move over. We understand that. And there are people who just won't. You know, I've had people that I've stopped for not moving over for emergency vehicles say, well, you shouldn't have been stopped there. It's unsafe for you to stop a vehicle. Okay, yeah, it's really unsafe to stop a vehicle anywhere these days.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest. Unless you can put them in a parking lot or somewhere, you know, that there's just some places that are unsafe. But the law requires you to move over. It doesn't say if you want to, or if you believe in it, or if you think the officer did the right thing. It says that you shall move over or slow down if traffic permits. So, you know, we ask people, and it's not just law enforcement. You know, if you look at you know, recently a trial just concluded for, you know, the manslaughter death of a wrecker operator here in Fredericksburg. Everybody who's out there working on the side of the road for whatever reason, whether you agree with it or not, has a family somewhere who wants them back that night.
Yep.
So whether you agree with how the stop happened or where the stop happened, you know, and some of them, people get upset and it's a disabled vehicle. Like, look, if I could have moved that vehicle, I would have. I don't think they chose to break down right here to Miller Route 1, but they did. And we're here to make sure that they're safe. So sometimes the story is not always clear as to why we're there, and that's irrelevant. You know, a lot of times, you know, we try and get somebody stopped, we address it, we ask them to move someplace safer. But until that happens, you know, we've really gotta help people out. You know, our tow truck operators, you know, that are our partners in public safety here, you know, they deserve to go home because they're out there providing a service we've asked them for, or the citizens have asked them for. You know, ambulance, firefighters, there's, you know, you read all over the news about, you know, people running into fire trucks for some reason. Now, if you hit a fire truck,
you're not paying attention.
With all those lights, it's a big red lit up brick. This usually got cones behind it. And somebody with a flashlight and you know, this reflective suit. If you run into that, we should really be checking your eye status or, you know, medically clearing you to get back behind the wheel. But, you know, all these folks that are out there working, and since the law says so, you know, they deserve to go home to their family. You know, one of the worst parts about this job, and we've done it too much recently, is having to go to somebody's family, go knock on a door and say, you know, on behalf of the sheriff, we want to extend our condolences because your loved one is no longer with us. It's horrible.
Yeah.
And we've been doing it way too much lately. So anything we can do to make that stop, you know, it's what we're planning to do.
Captain Lee Peters here. Great stuff as usual. We'll wrap this up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
Captain Lee Peters with the Stafford Sheriff's Office here this morning. Before we get out of here, again, in just a few weeks, there will be buses on the roadways. And as you have made abundantly clear, there are going to be very few reasons why, if you violate the laws with cars and buses and all of that, that you're going to get off.
Yeah, and again, you know, we don't like to come out and just say we're gonna start writing tickets, but there will be lights everywhere, and there's a good chance if you are disobeying the laws of school zone, you know, you'll be stopped. Now, how it ends, that's between you and officer, because, you know, again, that's your private moment with the law enforcement. But we would prefer to not stop anybody, and we keep everyone safe by just obeying the law. So, you know, we want to thank everybody for their patience during the first couple of weeks. We know it's a trying time. We know it's exciting. School zones and lights and getting everything back in order, but we appreciate everybody's patience and understanding and support. So, but we will be out there. We'll be, you know, in the school zones. We'll be making sure everybody's children are safe. And again, if you take nothing else from why we're out there or why we're doing what we're doing, we're out there to keep everyone's children safe as much as possible during the school year. So that's our mission, and that's what we're going to do.
And like you said, plan for it. If you know that there's a bus in your neighborhood or a bus on your route, work around that. Leave earlier.
Yeah, we kind of come to the conclusion that if you have neighbors, there's probably going to be school buses. And even if you don't have kids or your kids are grown, there's still a new family coming in next to you. So just know it's going to be a hectic time. And again, if the schedule stays as it is, where the younger kids start and then, yeah, you know, the older kids, you know, it's going to be a little different. So just treat everyone else's family like you want yours treated. Treat everyone else's neighborhood and roads like you want yours treated, and everybody will have a great, great year. You know, stop by the schools, say hi. We're getting our SROs back in there so that, you know, they can keep the schools safe. And if you see us out on the roadway, you know, say hi. We appreciate the community and their support. And you know, we love Stafford and our partners here. So we want everybody to have a great year, and we want to make sure everybody is safe on the roadways. So it's, you know, we've said it. And again, you know, Stafford County and traffic and construction, you have to plan for the worst. You've got to add that time in your schedule, because you just do not know when something bad is going to happen. You know, we've seen road flooding. We've seen, you know, crashes. We've seen just incidents. You know, just whatever could possibly go wrong in the roadways, you know, we're seeing it. And, you know, nightly closures for bridge work and repairing roads and keeping things together, it is causing a lot of issues. So we just ask people, take that breath. You know, we said before, you know, turn your music on, take a deep breath, and just understand that things are going to be hectic.
Captain Lee Peters, Stafford Sheriff's Office. Captain Peters, thanks. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Ted.
Anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.